Okay, take your Bibles and go to Psalm 34. I was reading a couple of things. We'll let the little girls go downstairs. I'm reading Walter Cummins' new book again. It's not that new anymore. I even forget the name of it now.
Essentials for Life,
that's it. One of the points he makes is that when you're faced with situations, you don't look at the situations, you look to God. And then David Berge also made that same point in his book on healing. He said, you don't look at the sickness, but you look to God. And that's a really great key in life. And we're going to look at some things here, because what do we look at, or what do we focus on every day? And Psalm 34, verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." What a great verse. The word magnify is the word gadol, and it means to magnify, make great, extol, or praise, or glorify. It can mean all those different things. What a great thing we are to magnify God. We're to extol him, praise him, glorify him, make him great in our lives and in our minds. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Of course, this is a Psalm of David. When he was in Philistia, and he acted crazy, and the king kicked him out. You know, kind of. So God delivered them. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. And the word looked is a word in Hebrew. It means to look attentively. You know, sometimes we just look at things and we just, you know, don't really pay attention to what we're looking at, do we? Now, this doesn't necessarily mean physically, but it could be. But here I think it's more figurative. In other words, we're looking to God. This poor man cried, speaking of himself, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord campeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And the word trust means to take refuge or rely on. It's similar to the word believing in the New Testament. So that's pretty cool there. Let's go to Psalm 69. See, if you think about David, you know, he could have been, he certainly was concerned about his life. Saul was endeavoring to kill him. He was being chased, but his focus was on God. He turned to God. He didn't turn to, you know, Saul, on the other hand, what did he do? He turned to a witch. He turned to the witch of Endor when he had problems, but David did not. He turned to God. In Psalm 69, verse 30, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, that's pretty cool. One way that we magnify God is by being thankful. You know, truly thankful to him. And that's a great key of life, is to be thankful. People that aren't thankful really have problems. I think it talks about it in Romans chapter 1, where he talks about people that turned away from God. And he said they weren't thankful. And so that was the first step down. Let's go to Psalm 138. Everybody knows this one, I think. We just sang it. Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God made his word big. right? He underwrote it, is another way to talk about it. He extols his word. His word is perfect. And it's through his word that we understand him or have an understanding of him. It's how we understand what he did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. It's how we understand the promises made and what he will do for us. Let's go to Genesis 15. So here's a practical example of what we're talking about. Abraham has a problem in chapter 15. This is after he saves Lot when Lot gets kidnapped. And you know, he talks to the kings of Sodom and they want to give him money. He turns them down and Melchizedek comes and blesses him. And it says in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, that's a pretty cool thing for God to say to somebody, isn't it? And Abraham said, you know, God makes this great declaration to Abram. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And I'm not sure how old Abram was here at this time. I know when he left the land of Ur, he was about 65. I think he's around 75 at this point. It's pretty old not to have a kid and ask for a kid, right? A lot of us would pray, don't let me have a kid. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. You know, I don't have a son, I don't have an heir. All I have is my steward, Eliezer. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look. And that again is to look attentively, you know, to pay attention. He said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, there's a couple of things working here. Obviously, the majesty and the magnitude of the stars in the sky is a figure to let Abraham know, or Abram at this point, you know, how great it's going to be. But who's in heaven and who made the stars? God. So he's saying, you know, pay attention to me. Forget about just, I'm going to take care of you. I'm giving you this promise. You're going to have an heir. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. What a great thing. Abraham believed. He was steadfast in his believing to God. What a great thing, huh? See, and God directed him. He said, this is what you got to do. This is my promise. Every time you look at those stars, that's confirmation of what I'm telling you. Isn't that cool? You know, don't worry about the situation. This is going to happen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And this is a familiar section of scripture for most of you, I'm sure. It says in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Pay attention to God's words. That's what it's saying. Pay attention. Listen to God's words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And you know, a lot of times when it talks about looking or eyes, again, it's not necessarily physical. In this case, it would be the eyes of your mind, right? It's what you're keeping your brain. It's not necessarily physically looking at things, because it says, let them not depart from thine eyes, thy word, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. You know, bury them deep, hold them fast, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And there's an accompanying promise that goes with it. You know, it brings life and it brings health. Then it goes on to say in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. You know, and again, we know what the heart is, right? The center of our being. Keep it with all diligence. How do you keep your heart with all diligence? Well, in the context, what? It's, you know, looking to God and the promises of God and his word, right? What he's telling us. That's what's going to keep you. So keep them with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Right on where? God's word. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So he's encouraging here, and he's saying, you know, stay on the word. Keep focused on the word. Don't be distracted by what's going on. You know, it's really easy right now for us to get distracted, isn't it? Because you get bombarded with commercials and advertisements and billboards and signs and, you know, all kinds of wacky stuff. People just live their normal, dopey lives, and then all of a sudden, every 4 years, they go nuts. So we're to keep focused on God's word, his promises, not the circumstances, not the situations. You know, back in the days of Jesus Christ and in the first century, you know, we have this picture of Rome, you know, this great empire, which was a great empire, lasted for a lot longer than the United States. It lasted for over 1,000 years. But it was pretty mean. It was, you know, merciless in many ways. You know, slavery was pretty common. The Romans got to a point where they were so powerful and wealthy that they did nothing. The slaves did everything. And most people didn't work. That's why they had the circuses. That's why they had these elaborate baths for the public that the citizens could go to entertain themselves. Every other day at the height of the Roman Empire, every other day was a holiday almost. That's how many holidays. Because the emperors wanted to keep the people happy. They didn't want them to have any reason to be disgruntled. But if they were disgruntled, they got squished, you know? And yet, Christianity survived and prospered, you know? It grew because those people just believed in God. They trusted what God said. They looked to God in every situation. Let's go to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, serve the Lord with fear, which would be awe or respect, and rejoice with trembling, which again is, you know, like having respect, you know, really joyous. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in the Lord. Put their trust. You know, I've been thinking about trust a lot. And, you know, it doesn't say anything in the Word of God about trusting anything else. Yeah, God and His Word. We trust that. That's what we trust. It doesn't talk about trusting your abilities or your talents or your education or your best friend or, you know, even your parents. You know, we're to trust in the Lord, in God. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 22. And this is a song written by David after he was delivered from Saul, and he's the king. And it says in verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Well, I didn't have to give you that introduction because he says it in the first verse. But, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Nothing else, right? Nothing. God. God is his rock, his fortress, and my deliverer. "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." Well, that's pretty good, huh? "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." And then it goes on and gives this flowery explanation of how God delivered him. And it's pretty cool. You can read it on your own. But let's go down to verse 20. So he didn't talk about his soldiers and the mighty men that were with him. He didn't talk about his military expertise or anything else. If you remember when he fought against Goliath, what did he say? "God will deliver me. This is not my battle, it's God's battle. I'm just doing what he tells me." He's an uncircumcised Philistine. You know, he put his complete trust in God. In verse 20, he says, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." And you know, there were times when David wasn't so clean and he paid a price, didn't he? Yep. He did. You know, his son died from Bathsheba, the first one. Another time, because he disobeyed God and took a census, you know, the people got sick and some died. And, you know, and he had to go to God and be humble and ask for forgiveness.
He asked God to create in him a clean heart.
Yeah, he asked God to create a clean heart in him. That's right. So, verse 22, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not done wickedly, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." I remember reading the book about the heavenly man, the guy in China, and he referred to this verse because he was stuck somewhere and the police were closing in on him because he was a Christian, and he was by this wall, and all of a sudden he said, I found myself on the other side of the wall. He just believed God would get him out of the situation. So, pretty cool. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. See, David was just totally invested in God and his deliverance. He didn't look at the situations. He didn't calculate, you know, what he was going to do or how he was going to do it. He looked to God and prayed to God and then did what God told him. What a great thing. That's a great way to live. In verse 48, it says, "God, it is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore." Wow, what a great thing. David was so committed to God, and yeah, he made mistakes, but he always came back to God, and God blessed him. But, you know, that trust and that looking to God and what God says about the situation, that's what counts. Let's go to Philippians, and we'll close there. Chapter 4. Okay, it says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation or your consideration be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing," and that word careful is the word anxious, or it could be translated also, don't be distracted. You know, don't be anxious, don't be distracted. Because it says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be distracted by anything. But in everything, just like David was, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, remember in Peter it talks about in chapter 5, cast your care upon him because he careth for you. But the preceding verses talk about humility. You know, being humble to God, that's how you can cast your care upon him. You give it to him because you know he's got it. You're not going to figure it out. He is. So be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, we don't have to be anxious about what's going on in the world. We don't have to be concerned. If we're sick, you know, we go to God and we just give it to him, and we focus on his promises and what he says. He made that point really clear to Abram. You know, look at the stars. Look at how great I am. That's my creation, and your seed's going to be like that. Yeah. What a cool thing. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for loving us, for always giving us the answers that we need, for how you just are there for us all the time, that we don't have to be anxious, worried, concerned, fearful about anything, that we just take it to you, God, knowing that we have your spirit within us, that we are your children, and that we have eternal life. So we thank you for this. In the great and wonderful name of your Son, our living Lord and returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.